Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo e-learning page. Don't forget that Echo membership would provide you with unlimited access to a whole range of other educational courses, as well as the entire content of the Echo e-library. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
My name is Dr. Nyla Reevy. I am the lead for the IBD Centre at St. Mark's Hospital in London and honorary senior lecturer at Imperial College. In this podcast, I will talk about small bowel strictures and Crohn's disease. Small bowel strictures present a challenging clinical problem. The heterogeneity in pathogenesis, pathology, length, number and location of strictures makes it difficult to design head-to-head studies to guide treatment decisions. To explore this topic, I will cover the types of strictures, diagnosis, treatment modalities, approach to treatment, and finish off with the future directions in this field. Approximately 15% of patients with Crohn's disease will present with strictures at the time of diagnosis. In others, strictures develop during the course of the disease and referred to as naive strictures. A second type of stricture called anastomotic stricture occurs at the site of previous intestinal resection with anastomosis. The pathogenesis of naive and anastomotic strictures differ. With naive strictures, the transmural inflammation that characterizes Crohn's disease causes thickening of the bowel wall that contributes to circumferential luminal narrowing. This is an inflammatory stricture. With persistent inflammation, several growth factors such as TGF-beta act as mediators to activate proliferation of mesenchymal cells, including fibroblasts, myofibroblasts, and smooth muscle cells. Differentiation of myofibroblasts, hypertrophy of smooth muscle cells, and accumulation of extracellular matrix proteins with collagen deposition all contribute to stenosis. A study published in 2017 offered a detailed histological description of resection specimens from 48 patients with stricture in Crohn's disease. The authors showed that muscular hypertrophy and hyperplasia dominated the pathology findings, and fibrosis had a minimal contribution. These strictures are therefore better termed fibrostenosing strictures. In contrast, anastomotic strictures are predominantly fibrotic, with collagen deposition triggered by ischemia, infection, and stasis at the pre-anastomotic segment. Symptomatic strictures present with obstructive symptoms, namely intermittent cramps exacerbated by eating, constipation, abdominal distension, nausea, and vomiting with or without weight loss. MRI scan is the optimal modality to diagnose symptomatic strictures and may also reveal asymptomatic strictures during the course of treatment monitoring. A group of experts reached a consensus for diagnosis of stricture based on three imaging criteria. These include luminal narrowing, wall thickening, and pre-stenotic dilatation. Cross-sectional imaging also defines stricture count, length and location, all of which will influence treatment. There are four recognized treatment modalities: conservative with low-fiber diet, anti-TNF biologic therapy, endoscopic balloon dilatation, and surgery, either as a strictureplasty or a surgical resection. Adaptation to a diet low in insoluble fiber may explain why some patients with strictures appear asymptomatic. A low fiber diet is also recommended for symptomatic strictures whilst awaiting for the onset of medical therapy or whilst waiting for interventional therapy. It's interesting that there's no robust data to support this commonly adopted approach. There is data to support the role of infliximab and adalimumab in inflammatory strictures. The largest study was the CREOLE study that investigated 97 patients on adalimumab. This was a multi-center prospective observational cohort study in patients with Crohn's disease and symptomatic small bowel strictures. The primary outcome measure was success, defined as adalimumab continuation without prohibited medical treatment, endoscopic dilatation or bowel resection. At week 24, 64% of patients had achieved success. However, at 4 years after inclusion, only 29% maintained that benefit and 50% of patients did not undergo bowel resection. The high rate of symptomatic recurrence and surgery is likely to be a reflection of the mixed pathology of such strictures, with a medically unresponsive fibrostenosing component. Endoscopic balloon dilatation involves the passage of controlled radial expansion balloon through the scope and dilating the stricture in steps of three. Pooled analysis studies of balloon dilatation reported a technical success rate defined as the passage of the endoscope through the stricture of 90%. Clinical efficacy, defined as symptom-free rate at completion of follow-up, was between 70 to 80%. However, only 70% of patients needed redilatation within 24 months, and at 5 years of follow-up, 75% of patients had undergone surgery. Complications, namely perforation and bleeding, occurred in 3 to 5% of procedures, and this data suggests that endoscopic balloon dilatation offers a safe intervention for relief of symptoms, but recurrence is common and most patients will need surgery. The type of surgery will depend on the number, length and pathology of the strictures. Surgical mobility is higher than with endoscopic balloon dilatation, ranging between 8 to 15%. But the need for repeat surgery is less, between 7 to 18% at 10 years. As there are no head-to-head studies comparing the treatment modalities, clinicians rely on shared decision-making. This involves weighing the risks and benefits of each modality, as well as consideration of four factors that will influence the treatment approach. These factors include the pathology, which may be inflammatory or non-inflammatory, in other words, fibrosis or fibrostenosing, the length, whereby short strictures are defined as being less than or equal to 4 centimeters, the number of strictures, single or multiple, and the location within the small bowel to determine whether strictures are endoscopically accessible or not. In general, for single or multiple short strictures that are chronic, non-inflammatory and accessible to endoscopy, endoscopic balloon dilatation may be considered as first-line therapy. Where strictures are not endoscopically accessible, surgical resection or preferably suturoplasty should be considered. Longer and or multiple non-inflammatory strictures should be considered for surgery, either resection or preferably suturoplasty. Irrespective of the number or length of strictures, patients with predominantly inflammatory strictures should be offered medical therapy with biologic drugs. Surgical resection is an option where the segment of inflammation is short and unlikely to compromise absorption. But by far the best treatment for strictures is prevention. The treat-to-target paradigms with tight control, together with early treatment of Crohn's disease, offers promise to attenuate the natural history of progressive Crohn's disease. Disease modification trials, proposed by the SPIRIT consensus, using measures of progressive disease, such as the new Le Mans Index, are eagerly awaited to support the tight control strategy for the prevention of strictures.